Shalom Aleichem, everyone. As we prepare for Shabbos Parshas Matis Maaseh, we're in the 3 weeks and trying to appreciate the meaning of the 3 weeks, the chashivas of the 3 weeks, and the accomplishments that we have to have during the 3 weeks. A thought regarding the 3 weeks. We all know that to mourn on something that's not here for a long time is a very, very challenging thing, and it's not easy to do. Well, let's Sefer Ezra. The beginning of Sefer Ezra has Klal Yisrael coming to build the Bayis Sheni. And not all of Klal Yisrael comes, but a couple, over 40,000 Jews come. And they begin the building of the Bayis Sheni with the permission of the king. And suddenly, permission is rescinded. Permission is taken away. And the Yidden are stuck. They're in Eretz Yisrael. They came to build the Beis HaMikdash. Permission is taken away. And they're really in a country together with a lot of enemies of the Jewish people. For 18 years, permission is not restored. And through a series of events, 18 years later, Haggai the Navi comes, as he does in Perek Aleph of Haggai, and he says, Esba, the time has come. Time has come to build, and they finished building the Beis HaMikdash. Halei Davar Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made an 18-year delay. Our understanding is that the Beis HaMikdash is built through the Cheshek of Klal Yisrael, the desire of Klal Yisrael. David HaMelech had a tremendous desire to build the Beis HaMikdash. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu said no, and David prepared everything he could for the building, and Shlomo HaMelech ultimately built it. That desire of David HaMelech and that desire of the first Olam, it remains. It remains as a Beis HaMikdash that's in the Cheshek, in the hearts of Jews. As one of the Balei Mashava says, Shlomo HaMelech ha-natsugalek da-nogol tudas es David ha-kibayt be-cheshkai. Meaning, Shlomo HaMelech put the nail, the wood and stones, into that which David HaMelech had already built with his desire. The Beis HaMikdash is more than a physical building. It's a desire of Klal Yisrael to have the Shechinah have a place among them. That cheshek, that desire, is every bit a piece of the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, the Bayis Rishon through David, the Bayis Sheni through the Olam, went through a period of intense desire. It was almost as if they were teased. It was almost there. It was almost theirs. And that tease that they waited, eager to build, that stays with Klal Yisrael. The Beis HaMikdash of stone and wood of Shlomo HaMelech is long gone. But the Beis HaMikdash of David, the Beis HaMikdash of the Olam in the beginning of Ezra, the Beis HaMikdash in the heart of a Yid, it remains. You go to a Simcha, you go to a Sheva Brachas, a Drasha typically ends with a desire to see the Beis HaMikdash, the Bayis HaShlishi Bikaret. It's a different feeling. If you want to work on mourning what's missing, it's hard. If you want to work on a Cheshek, a desire for what we're eager to have once again, it's less difficult. It's still an Avodah. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us a tease, so to speak. We have access to our Tzeinu HaKadosha. Baruch Hashem, there's a tremendous amount of Torah being learned there. And Yidin Hu HaMaisa Nefesh for Torah and Avodah in Yerushalayim. To work on that Cheshek, that's an Avodah. Something worth putting a lot of time and energy into. It's the Avodah of the 3 weeks. I'd like to share with you a thought regarding Parshas Maaseh and the Parsha of Goel Adam. Currently, is an incredible story going around. Those who don't have access or don't frequent the internet and the Torah world are not aware of it. But in much of the Balabashasha world, it is already a well-known story. There was a Yid who, Rachmana Litzlan, killed an 8-year-old daughter of another Jewish family in a car accident. At the Levaya, the family that lost their daughter made the statement that they're Michael, the person who killed their daughter, and beseeched Klal Yisrael to take their example, and that people involved in machlekes and disputes should be Michael each other and move on with life. It struck a chord in Klal Yisrael, and many have seized the opportunity, have grabbed on to that example. It's an incredible thing. I couldn't help but wondering how that squares with the parsha of the Goel Hadam. The Torah seems to picture the relatives of someone who was killed b'shaygeg as eligible to take revenge, eligible to kill the one who killed b'shaygeg. Is the Torah telling us that that's the preferred attitude? Maybe. Maybe a real chashivas, a real appreciation of life, would not make it easy for a person to forgive. I was wondering about it. I opened up the Mitzvah Melio, who has a mimer on Goel Hadam, Chelik Dalit, beginning on page 169. And there, on page 170, he says something fascinating. He talks about death, and how death, in the spiritual sense, he says, Emisa elishinui levush levad. Death is a change of clothing. It's a change in the shama that goes from a physical body to a spiritual existence. Earlier, on page 112 in the same volume, he says, Misa hu be'emes hischatcha sachayim. What we call death is really a new life, a new beginning of life. The attitude in the perfect spiritual world to Misa is that it's a continuation. It's a continuation. Then turning to the Goel Hadam, he quotes the pasuk in this week's parasha, Perek Lamed Hei, pasuk Lamed Gimel, Ul'aretz lo yichaper l'dom ha'shoshafach, ki im b'dam shoshafach. Seems to say that there's no forgiveness except with the blood of the one who killed. Says the Mechtam Melio, the pasuk says, Ul'aretz lo yichaper l'dom ha'shoshafach. What is Ula'aretz unto the earth? He says, Madrega tachtoina benefesh nikras aretz. The simplest, perhaps the lowest level of the neshama is called aretz. On that madrega, on that level, a person wants revenge. A person wants something back from the one who killed. But the Mechamilio says that's a nod to people who live on that lower level of Aretz. The higher level does not request or require or even want any type of a revenge. The higher level appreciates what Misa is and what Misa is not. And that when the time comes in the neshama to change its clothing, so to speak, change its lavush, it's something that does not call for vengeance. It's a darke eliyahin. I'm reminded of an Or Sameach. The Sameach says that when the Torah lets a Goel Hadam kill the murderer, the Torah recognizes the weakness of human beings and allows it to happen. Not that it's chalila desirable. It's a different attitude towards life and a different attitude towards death. It always reminds me of the tzava of Rav Shlomo Kluger. Rav Shlomo Kluger was a person who wrote many svarim. They say he wrote svarim Kaminyan Shlomai, Gematria of Shlomai being 375. Whether that's accurate or not, I don't know. But he certainly wrote many tzavais, and they're printed in the back of Imre Shofar, the Sefer, on one of his many svarim, Al Chumash. The first tzava there struck me. It was written before his 50th birthday. As he approached his 50th birthday, Rav Shlomo Kluger wrote a tzava, and he wrote, as a hakdama, as best I remember, the following words. He says, my 50th birthday is approaching, and maybe I'll be fortunate And just as Yovel is a time of freedom, so too the time will come and Hashem will free my neshama from the burden of Olam Hazeh. And therefore I write at Tzavoah. It was Adam Gadol who recognized death for what it was. Ein Yisa Elashinu Levush Bovad. Yisa Hu Be'emes Ischachus Achayim. When one has that attitude, it's a different sense and a different feeling. And when someone reaches that darga, there's no desire for vengeance. And so, a thought regarding the Goyel Hadam. I want to leave you with a shaila in Hilchas Nedarim. Shaila that was asked of me, and I'm not sure what the answer is. A man had a daughter that had a difficult time conceiving. He made a shavua that if his daughter would give birth, he would give $25,000 to tzedakah outside of his regular ma'aseh money. And Baruch Hashem, his daughter was expecting. He was very excited. And as her due date came close, he couldn't hold himself back. He went and took $25,000 and gave it to tzedakah, as he had promised. Now he came with a question. The question was, if his daughter gave birth, does he have to give another $25,000? He had made a shvua that when his daughter gives birth, he'll give $25,000. He gave $25,000 before she gave birth. He gave it on the das of his shvua. But is that something which is a payment of the shvua? Or you really can't prepay a shvua. The shvua has to happen. If he had made a shvua to do something, to learn the Perek Mishnayis, he certainly would have to wait until afterwards. The question was whether that payment is adequate. It reminds me of a totally different shaila, but similar in case. There's a mitzvah to pay a worker on the day that he does your work. It has happened that I was in a taxi in Eretz Yisrael, going, let us say, to the Kaisel, and as it winds through the old city, I took out my money and I gave it to him before we got to the destination. Someone riding with me asked me, are you missing in the mitzvah of the Yamei Tzicharei? The mitzvah is to pay him when the work is done. The work is not yet done. You paid before. Now, it's not an aveira because you're not failing to pay. When the work is done, you owe him nothing. But the question is whether that's a kiyum or not a kiyum. Food for the thought for the Shabbos table. I want to wish one and all an absolutely wonderful Shabbos, a meaningful Bein HaMetzarim, and a Yirtzeh Hashem, a cheshek, a tshuka, a desire to see the Bayashlishi, the Nehira, b'yameinu.